everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. It's Monday, January 27th, 2021. We're entering, closing out month number one into our 11th year on the radio here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. Pretty much every show we've done, podcast, we've got them all archived at my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, we have the live feed from kvoi.com for the live stream of the program. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and their newly revamped website's looking real good at moesgallery.com, so they can pretty much take care of all of your framing needs. They'll even come out and hang the art for you at your home. And of course, if you'd like, you can do a one-on-one appointment. So check it out, moesgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off team today, John Munger is with me in studio. Mr. Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and one-time candidate for Arizona governor. On the live line is Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Had a wonderful weekend.
Hanging in there?
Yes, I am. We also had it was a bit cold and chilly and rainy.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure a lot of people were rooting for that, but you know, with my horses, I kind of limit city.
Yes, the horses. Make sure you've got a blanket or two to put over them. I guess it's going to
It was nippy.
There you go, John. How was your weekend?
Oh, wonderful weekend. Our son and his family have all moved back to Tucson from California.
Wow. They're among many who are choosing that route.
And we spent the weekend playing with the grandkids and wearing ourselves out. Glad to be back at work where I can rest up a little.
Former State Senator Kelly Ward, the vote was a little closer than a lot of people thought up at the state GOP convention in Phoenix on Saturday, and she presented her candidacy, John, as the only option to keep the Arizona Party from what she calls going back to the dark days before Trump. And she said the former president had asked her to run in a private meeting and actually played a recorded message from the former president endorsing her candidacy. It's a deeply divided party, isn't it, John?
Well, not divided in policy. What's dividing the party is we all agree on the policies. What we don't agree on is how deeply Donald Trump personally should be involved in the party. There are those who want him to be the leader of the party personally, and there are those, and I'm of this camp, who love his policies but think that he should not be trying to lead the party at this point, because it will divide the party. And so that's the debate within the Republican Party. It is not about policy. It's about how deeply Donald Trump should be involved in Republican politics, or viewed as the leader of the party in a sense of him nominating or supporting candidates, primarying candidates he doesn't agree with, starting a third party, things like that. That's very concerning to me, and it's very concerning to a whole lot of people.
Yeah, this thing about a patriot party.
I don't agree with third parties. The Republican Party is the party of small business and the working man. The Democratic Party is the party of big business and media and academic elites in this country, people that consider themselves more knowledgeable than everybody else. the elite. And that is eminently clear from what Donald Trump did and what Joe Biden is doing today. He's already killing jobs, and he will continue to kill jobs, all in the name of these highly progressive policies concerning the environment and their insistence that they get illegal immigrants into this country as quickly as possible, because the Democrats think that that will enhance their voting power in the voting booth.
All right, let's go now to Jeff Rogers on the live line. Jeff, Glenn Hammer, who is the head of the Arizona Chamber, Chamber of Commerce, said that right now on the Republican side, I don't have a word to describe what's going on with the state party. Do you have a word?
Yeah, crazy. It's absolute craziness. It's which I welcome. I mean, if they want to hand the state over to us by having someone as crazy as Kelly Ward be their chairperson, I'm willing to let them do it. If they want to destroy their party from the inside, I'm willing to let them do it. And oh, by the way, those dark days of the Republican Party, they held both Senate seats for more than 24 years. Democrats haven't held both Senate seats in Arizona for 60 years or more. And, you know, and that is Donald Trump's gift to the Democrats, and that is Kelly Ward's gift to the Democrats. And I think, you know, John's being very careful and meticulous in his statements, but I think deep down, John probably agrees with me and wishes Kelly Ward was not the chair of the party. I mean, this is, remember, this is a woman who advanced theories about chemtrails being a government plot to poison you. You know, and she failed as a candidate twice. I mean, she's personally responsible in many regards for handing over two Senate seats to the Democrats. And I'm willing to suggest that, you know, she's going to hand more statewide offices over to the Democrats in 2022 because of her right wing craziness. I mean, it's, you know, there are responsible Republicans out there like my friend John. And there are, you know, there are many of them, and like Glenn Hamer, you know, they don't have control of the Republican Party, and I think you're going to see a position where you'll see statewide candidates run without the real support of the party, that they'll divorce themselves from the party, as Ducey kind of did. I mean, he kind of ran on his own, and here they are, you know, basically. Censuring someone who's really been pretty much the most successful Republican politician in the state over the last 6 years. So, you know, I think that they're going to have a reckoning, and I had hoped that reckoning, because I really would like to see a responsible Republican Party as an alternative to the Democrats, because, you know, if we happen to lose to them, I want to lose to some responsible people.
John, John, is there a responsible party that will emerge from all of this?
Well, I think there is. It's going to take time. The question is, we all agree, as I've said previously, we all agree on policy. And there is no division in the Republican Party on policy, for the most part. I mean, there are wackos in both parties. In the Republican Party, we're united on policy. The question is, how deeply involved is Donald Trump personally, and how much are people going to march to his personal drum? And I think that will resolve itself. It may take an election or two. The good news is that we have a very deep bench at the presidential level. Nationally, we have all kinds of potential candidates for president out there. I'll just name a few: Nikki Haley, Josh Hawley, Tim Scott, Ted Cruz, and there are many more, all of whom would garner huge support within the Republican Party. And as soon as that begins to happen, and it may take 4 years, that person will become the leader of the party. We'll see if Donald Trump personally divides the party in the meantime. That is a risk. And I don't know how to solve it. Only time will tell.
All right. And Jeff, we have Doug Ducey saying he is not a candidate to go against Kelly in 2 years. So there you go on that one.
I saw that, and I kind of wondered where Ducey's going. I mean, he's only 58 years old.
Right.
younger than the three of us, and I thought that you know, maybe he's taken such a hit from not being sufficiently loyal to Donald Trump that he doesn't think he could make it through any kind of primary. I don't know what's going on. He seemed like the logical candidate to me.
Well, I think Doug Ducey may be somebody who wanted to serve as governor, and beyond that, he's done.
You think he might be done?
On the Democratic Party is a business.
Yeah.
It's not so much a business on the Republican side. We have other things to do besides be in office. I know when I ran for governor, I told people, I don't really care about being called governor. I want to do the job, and then I want to be done. And that, I know the public has a hard time believing that, but there are a lot of people out there, and I suspect Doug Ducey is one of them, who, but can't attest to it, of course, that wanted to serve as governor, do his job, and then go back to the private sector. How refreshing that is. He doesn't have to do anything. And Doug Ducey is not desperate. He's got other sources of income. He doesn't need the job. the job doesn't pay that much anyway. So, you know, give him a break. He may say, look, I'm done. I've done my duty. I'm going back. It's like a soldier coming back from a war. I've done my duty. I don't want to be in the permanent military. I've done my duty, and I'll go back to the private sector.
All right. Hold your thought there, Jeff. You'll be up to the plate after we take our break right here. But right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Oh, my goodness. Discovered I hadn't really gone for the cinnamon rolls before, but oh, my goodness. You know, this weekend was so conducive to a hot cinnamon roll. I was up there Saturday morning picking up, of course, one of my favorites, one of the blueberry muffins up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Steve, owner and chief baker, John and Jeff, had just brought out a platter of cinnamon rolls. Oh, my goodness. How do you say no to one of those? And he has the roll type, and then the kind of the more of like a Danish type, the flat kind of cinnamon roll. I said, Steve, what is the difference? And he says, my goodness, the cinnamon roll is very rich. Oh, I'll say so. Oh, my goodness, was that delicious. So check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're home to the Danish Kringle. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger and Jeff Rogers, Mona's, one of our great sponsors, and of course our title sponsor for the Monday Political Face-Off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is with me in studio, and Jeff Rogers is with us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out the newly redesigned website. Looks pretty darn good, so check it out. Jeff, let's begin with you on the live line. You know, as I watched the inauguration speech last Wednesday, I was thinking of when we were talking with you and John about who might be someone on a more of a moderate side of the Democratic when the primaries were beginning, and you said Biden would be that person. And I think he came across, Jeff Rogers, as a pretty darn middle-of-the-road person in the inauguration speech anyway. Would you agree?
Well, and that's who he is. I mean, he's not, you know, a fire-breathing liberal like Octavio Cortez and some of the others firebrands on the left. He's been a moderate Democrat throughout his entire career. And I don't think that he's going to get pulled in that direction as much as they try to. But I think the other thing that came off was, you just came away from it thinking, my God, isn't it nice to have a decent human being in the White House? You know, whether you agree with him or not, like I always disagreed a heck of a lot with George W. Bush, but I would have never said anything about him being, you know, an evil human being or a monster or a divisive in any sort of way. Even when he couldn't bring Americans together, he sure as heck tried to. And so, you know, it's nice to have somebody with common sense and decency, you know, and who's not going to call people names, who's not going to scream at the press and call them liars, and who's not going to come out and tell lies, you know, at hundreds of lies per day, every day. I mean, it's just refreshing, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. You don't feel like you have to rush to grab the newspaper in the morning to see, oh, my God, what has he done today? John and I will disagree about whether some policies he is in favor of or good or bad are good or bad for America. But those kind of policy differences have always been there. And it's refreshing to be talking about policies instead of talking about personalities and engaging in name calling and the kind of nastiness we've seen for 5 years from Trump. I found it very refreshing.
John Munger, what do you think so far? How do you think the first almost week has gone?
Well, I think his inaugural address was okay. He talked about unity. Of course, then now the Democrats are talking about deprogramming Republicans, conservatives. That's not a call for unity. They're trying to take away our First Amendment rights to express ourselves. That's not a call for unity. They really are need to be talking about civility. There's never going to be a unity on policy. There never has been a, as Jeff has said, there's never been an agreement on policy. And God bless this country. We all ought to be able to express our opinions on policy without being called terrible names by the progressives that run this country, or cut off from speech at all by big tech and large corporations. Biden getting to policies, which I agree with Jeff, I like to talk about policies, not personalities. Biden's already done some things which are very are going to have a very negative impact on the working man and small business. He has
rejoined about the pipeline.
Well, the pipeline there, you've killed 11,000 construction jobs, union jobs, right off the top, plus another 1,500 jobs to maintain it. That in turn is going to make America more dependent upon foreign oil, whereas under Trump's policies, we were oil independent. We didn't need to go to war in the Middle East. We didn't need to worry about the Middle East. So that's very negative for the working man and for the average American. Gas prices are going to go up as a result. That's very negative. That's basically a tax on Americans. That's bad. We've rejoined the Paris Peace Accords, which is going to do nothing for the American worker except put more restrictions on our ability to compete with China and India, which aren't following the Paris Peace Accords and don't have to. And they're the biggest offenders in the world. So we're going to comply at our cost and at the cost of our business and our jobs with the Paris Peace Accord and the India and Russia and China are not. We've already sent troops back. This hasn't been picked up much. We've sent troops back to Syria under Biden. So now we're starting to get re-involved in the Syrian conflict. Somebody's going to get hurt, and then we're going to send more troops. That's a problem. Immigration policy, that's a problem. Biden, who ran on the COVID thing, has announced today that there's no solution. We're just going to have to go through this dark winter. So he was telling everybody how he was going to solve the COVID problem. And now he's saying, well, there's really nothing to do. We just have to wait it out. Well, thank you very much.
All right, let's bring Jeff Rogers in here.
Well, first off, on the pipeline, that pipeline is environmentally suspect. Many of the states that it's passing through don't want it there. And in fact, the Indian reservations that it's passing through, they don't want it there either. And not only that, John, but all of that oil that's supposed to come through that pipeline, it's for distribution abroad. It's not for American use. It's coming in to a pipeline that's eventually going to lead it, theoretically, to Louisiana and to be shipped out of America. So we're already energy independent right now. We're the largest producer in the world right now of oil through various sources. So we don't need that oil. And if it's going to damage our pipeline or damage our environment, we don't need it there. And as to COVID, we only found out once Biden took over that Trump had been lying about this large, vast amount of vaccines that he was holding back that could then be released. We found that it didn't even exist, which was no surprise because he's lied for 10 straight months about the severity of the crisis and what he was doing. But what we also discovered is that he had no plan for distribution, none whatsoever, and that it was just basically dump it on the states and say, here, you deal with it, kind of things he did for his entire presidency. I mean, you know, we are facing some catastrophic consequences here because of Trump's failure still. And I believe that at least Joe Biden is going to listen to the scientists and the medical community, and we're going to do the best we can with the deck we've been dealt by this incompetent Donald Trump. And when we look at the Paris Climate Accord, everyone agrees. This is disastrous. Do you have any idea how many days we had over 100 degrees here in Tucson this past year, 2020? We set a record every month, July, August, September, October, November, the hottest months of those months ever in the history of Arizona.
All right, Jeff. John, I've only got a couple of seconds left.
Well, let me respond first on the pipeline issue. The pipeline issue is people in those states, majority of them want the pipelines, and the oil, the loss of the oil, some of that oil is going to stay in the United States, and the oil that was going to be shipped to other countries that now we can't ship to other countries means that those countries are going to be getting their oil from Russia, from Venezuela, and back to the Arabs again. So that's bad for the United States. It's a bad policy. As to the COVID, the states have gotten millions of doses of vaccines and can't even get those vaccines out.
Okay.
California's gotten out a third of its vaccines. Arizona's gotten out only half of its vaccines. That is not Donald Trump. The states have the vaccines and they aren't getting them out.
All right,
and
John. Meanwhile,
Joe Biden has given up all his promises about solving the COVID problem and saying there's nothing he can do.
All right, Jeff. Quickly, Jeff, 10 seconds.
Well, the fact is that we knew sooner or later we were going to have these vaccines. And we were stunned to find that there was no distribution plan at all. It was almost like,
all right, guys, we got to go. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, presenting our face-off.
CBS News Brief. President Biden has signed an executive order that overturns a controversial ban by his predecessor on transgender individuals serving in the U.S. military. CBS's Beau Erickson says it fulfills a campaign promise.
This change to allow transgender Americans to serve in the military by Biden impacts the 15,000 transgender Americans who are estimated to be in the U.S. military.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says scientists are working on new COVID-19 vaccines for new virus variants.
This is an evolving situation. So what we need to do and are doing are already looking at making upgraded versions.
CBS's Nicole Killian says the House is expected to bring the impeachment charge against former President Donald Trump tonight.
The article will be delivered to the Senate this evening by the House impeachment managers. At least 17 Republican senators would have to join Democrats in order to convict the former president.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, oh, I'm sure the plants over at Green Things are saying, thank you. Thank you. Boy, that rain was nice. We needed so much rain here. We still need a lot, but really felt good to get some rain. It looks like we'll get some more, maybe even mixed with some snow. So anyway, Green Things, their 13-acre site, chock full of all sorts of plants. And of course, they have Zocalo Village, five different standalone buildings that they call Zocalo Village, with all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Their website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. They're open every day, so check it out, 3384 East River Road. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now to Phoenix and the director, executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, Will Humble, who is the former agency director for the Arizona Department of Health Services. Will, how are you?
Hey, good morning, or actually, good afternoon, Bill.
Yeah, we're into the afternoon already. You know, I wake up anxious every day, praise to God that I don't, you know, have any COVID symptoms, but I don't think I'm alone, Will. This anxiety level, especially among those of my age group, folks over 65, is just off the charts, Will. Worrying about when and if I'm going to get a shot. How do you address this anxiety thing?
Well, I think, let me just use my parents as an example. They're both 87, right about there, and they had a lot of anxiety about how they were going to get the vaccine. And one thing that all your listeners can do is, if you're more a digital native person, if you're good with computers, to help out a relative of yours that's older, or a friend of yours that's older, or a neighbor that's older, and the next time that the computers open up for more appointments, to make sure you go over there and help them with that. So there are ways that we can help each other when it comes to, you know, dealing with all this, including, you know, the troubles that everyone's having trying to navigate the state's appointment system for vaccines. It's certainly not intuitive, and it surely helps to have somebody who's better at computers, who knows how to switch between browsers and that kind of stuff, because it can really help.
We had Dr. Christ, who, she was your immediate successor, wasn't she? Or was there somebody in between?
No, she was one of my deputies. And when I left, Governor Ducey asked her to become director.
Yeah, yeah. We had her on Thursday for a half an hour. And then we had Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, on for about 40 minutes. And we were going heavy into the vaccine. And I think the takeaway message, Will, is that the hope is that it's going to be like getting a flu shot. Eventually, you'll be able to go to a Walgreens, CVS, or Safeway, or some other pharmacy provider. Is that kind of what your gauge on this is?
Yeah, I hope so, that that's what happens. But it's really dependent on these next two vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the one from AstraZeneca. Those are both far more flexible than the first two. You know, we have Moderna and Pfizer right now, which have very stringent cold holding requirements and so forth. And I heard Dr. Fauci mention that he thought Johnson & Johnson would be putting in an application for emergency use authorization to the FDA shortly, like within the next couple of weeks. I'm certainly looking forward to that. Same with AstraZeneca. I think it's really in order for us to get where you just described, where it's a lot more decentralized and in pharmacies and doctor's offices, we're going to need more flexible vaccines. And that's the next two, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. But they still need to publish their phase three data and get their authorization application into the FDA.
So with this vaccine rollout, I was thinking about the Biden approach here, where he's pledging 100 million shots in the first 100 days. I was just wondering if Biden, or there had been a different administration, I don't want to get too political here with you, Will, but if we had had a different approach to the vaccine rollout, do you think it would have been different? Maybe like a federal approach rather than the Trump administration very much made it evident that they would go with a state health director-based approach. What are your thoughts?
I listened to your previous spot, and I'm a believer in letting those decisions and the execution happen at the state level. And it's important to have a distribution plan at the federal level for how you're going to get it out to states. But I disagree with the idea that the federal government should be micromanaging this at the state level. And the success and failures are largely dependent on the ability of, you know, both governors and the state health directors and their public health infrastructure to execute. I mean, there's some really good examples of states that have gotten this A-plus right. West Virginia, New Mexico, Alaska. It can be done efficiently and properly. But there's examples like us, California, where execution has been poor. So I think it's a cop-out to blame the federal government. And I've seen that in press releases from the state health department in the last week, or, you know, suggesting that it's now that the Biden administration is in there, they're starting to blame them. Look, the success and failure is at the state level. That's where the decisions get made. That's how the pods get set up. That's how the distribution gets set up. That's who builds the software systems for the appointments. It's the state people.
So then let me take it a step further. Would it have been better a full state approach rather than a county by county approach? Case in point, if you're over 65, you can sign up for a shot at one of the big centers up in Phoenix. There'll be two. Another one's coming on board, 24/7 centers. What if the state had not gone county by county?
Well, I think the state should have stuck with the county by county approach. I mean, really what happened is that instead of helping the counties be successful by working with with the software appointment system and so forth, they got impatient and started the one at the Cardinal Stadium up here in Phoenix, and expanded all the way down to 65. But the problem I have with that is there hasn't been enough penetration into the 75 plus age group yet at all, and now you're adding a whole group of people, 250,000 people between the ages of 65 and 74 to the cohort. And yes, they are at higher risk for the complications of the virus, but 75 and up people are at much higher risk. I just feel like you shouldn't expand the 1B category like the state did until you've been more successful getting the people that are at the highest risk vaccinated, and that's people in nursing homes and people over 75.
Do we have vaccine that is going to waste in Arizona? Have you heard that?
So the last data that I saw showed that there had been 75 doses out of roughly 390,000 have been used. and only 75 wasted. So if that data is correct and if the reporting system is correct, that's an impressive track record. You know, nobody wants to, you know, waste any vaccine, but, you know, humans are fallible. We make mistakes and mistakes do happen. And but to have only 75 doses get spoiled out of almost 400,000, if that's truly the number, that's impressive.
Do you think we're going to work out some of these kinks with the booking system?
Well, they say they're all hands on deck. You know, my job right after this call is I'm going to get on the system and try to get my parents their second shot, and I'll be able to answer that question after the show, because you know, it was a cumbersome system before. We did navigate it, we did get the appointment, but now I'm motivated to get them their second dose, and I'll find out if it seems like it's easier to use. From what I'm reading in editorials in the newspaper, it hasn't been, you know, fixed by significantly yet, at least.
Who takes responsibility for this system? Is this a system that the health department had in place before COVID, or is this some new software or what?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So the state has something called the vaccine management system that was in place when I was in the health director as well. And each of the county health departments were going to build their appointment system on their own. The state health department said, please don't do that. We will build a statewide system. And so that, which is what they did, and they went out and got a contractor. The contractor's name is MTX. It uses a Google platform. But the software vendor, and I don't know why it happened this way, but they delivered their software product 3 days before the first appointments needed to be made for the Pfizer vaccine in Category 1A. So they went out without any kind of beta test. Anyone who worked on any kind of software is, you know, you have to test it with users before you go live. And instead, they went live with 7.2 million of us.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
There you are, folks. That's probably one of the main reasons why we've had all these issues with getting appointments and everything. Will Humble will stick around, and we'll take some calls if folks want to join the conversation. 790-2040, 790-2040, our live line. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in New Mexico, specifically Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit that area. We're all ready to get away and hopefully keep our fingers crossed that sometime, hopefully soon, the land of enchantment will once again open to out-of-state visitors. Plan now. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for information about what to do, and there are all sorts of great recreation opportunities and where to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Before we return to our conversation about COVID with Will Humble, the former Arizona State Health Director. Will, I noticed these numbers on Arizona's legally smoking or eating or otherwise consuming nearly 106 tons of marijuana last year. That's up 27% from 2019, and it nearly doubles the amount sold in 2018. Hard to comprehend how much that is, Will Humble.
Well, there's 300,000 medical marijuana card holders, so it's spread out amongst them all, I guess.
Did you foresee this when you were the health director, this was coming?
No. I mean, I thought we would have, because we modeled ours in some ways similar to what Colorado had done, but we put a lot more checks and balances in the system to have, so that there would be real medical assessments and real appointments for the certifications. And that really got out of hand among certain doctors who specialized in writing certifications. And I thought, honestly, we'd have about 50,000 patients. But in the end, as you know, there's more than 300,000 patients now. So, I set the fee for the patient cards based on how many patients we thought we'd have. So I set the fees way too high in the end, because that's why there's more than $100 million in the fund, because the fees I set were too high, because I didn't think we'd have 300,000 patients.
Is it, where's that money go? That from the licenses?
Yeah, it goes to the Medical Marijuana Fund, which was established by the Medical Marijuana Act passed back in 2010, and the State Health Department administers that program. Interestingly, you know, this new retail program that the voters approved a couple months ago actually distributes a lot of that old fund. And so some of it's going to law enforcement, roads, community health, community colleges, and so forth.
Well, getting back to COVID, how are the numbers looking to you right now? I'm hesitant to say the word plateau, but it is kind of looking that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's looking like it's stabilizing. You know, for many weeks, it's been getting worse week after week after week. At least now it has stabilized. It's stabilized at far too high a level. Far too many people be infected each day. Far too many people dying. You know, a lot of the ICU beds that free up every day are because people died. You know, that's how they were discharged from the ICU. So, you know, we're having more than 100 people sometimes on some days, 200 plus people die. I mean, there's 1,000 people that died in 6 days, 2 weeks ago, just off the charts deaths. But at least it appears as though right now it's stabilized. There are different theories for why that is. One, I think there's two main reasons why we see stabilization. Number one, across the entire country, this has been a trend. And that in part could be because kids were out of school for at least 2.5-3 weeks over the winter break, including in Arizona. And so that's less amplification of the virus right there. Not that they were getting hospitalized, but they do spread the virus to their grandparents and so forth. And the other is that, you know, there was a lot of social mixing at Christmas and New Year's that happened. And then there was a next generation of cases, which was the intra-family spread that resulted from that. And in many of those, I mean, a lot of that has run its course a little bit. And so I think we're seeing some stabilization because those holidays are now 3 weeks behind us. So that's what I think is going on right now.
The Arizona Daily Star on Sunday had a piece about 75% immunity being possible by summer with a combination of natural immunity and vaccine-induced immunity, which may be enough to tap the brakes of the viral spread and level out the cases. Do you think that's possible?
Yes, I do. You hit it right on the mark. There's two ways that we build immunity. One is through infections, which we know has been gangbusters in our state for many weeks and months now, plus the big spike we had in July, and then through vaccines. And so we're scratching the surface on the vaccines right now. We talked earlier in the show about the importance of getting these new, more flexible vaccines out there and distributed, the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. So here's what I'll say about the question you asked. If we can get Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca authorized for use, then I do think that we will achieve that goal. Because at that point, it'll be a lot more like getting your annual flu shot. You'll be able to go to your primary care doc or a community health center or a pharmacy. And that's not happening right now because these first two vaccines have such stringent use requirements and holding temperature requirements.
So if those two go online, what kind of volume are we talking about, Will Humble, with the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca?
So I don't know exactly, and I don't think anybody knows exactly. Both of them manufactured the vaccine during the phase 3 clinical trials. Federal government told them, we will buy the vaccine that you make, even if it doesn't work or if it's found to be unsafe. So that was a great move on the part of the Trump administration to accelerate the manufacturing. So both have some. The biggest contract by far that the federal government has is with AstraZeneca. By the way, the Brits authorized AstraZeneca's vaccine before New Year's, and they haven't had any issues with it. So I'm just really anxious to get both of these going. It will substantially increase what we have available almost immediately upon authorization. I can't give you a number, but I do know that AstraZeneca in particular has a huge contract with the federal government to deliver vaccine that they have already made.
And is that a one-shot deal? Johnson & Johnson, I believe, is one shot, and the requirements for storage are not as stringent as what we've currently have. I don't know about the other product.
Yeah. AstraZeneca is a two-shot series. Johnson & Johnson's a one-shot series. Both, and this is really important, both are vaccines that you store in the refrigerator.
Wow.
And so that's what one of the things that makes that so flexible. I mean, you could ship them to regular doctor's offices and not have to worry about spoilage and temperature holding requirements and so forth. It's they will be game changers once those two vaccines are authorized. And there's more after that. Sanofi, GSK, and others that are in the pipeline.
Are those two expected to come out with the reports within a week or so?
Well, I haven't seen anything definitive on FDA's website, and I've been looking. The best information I have is from something that Dr. Fauci said. He said, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, he expects to go into emergency use authorization application within weeks, not months. That's as specific as he got, but I haven't been able to confirm anything, and I've been looking almost daily to see if I can find something because it is such an important component to our recovery.
Boy, I hope when we talk in a month or so, we'll have both of those online giving us four vaccines in our arsenal. Will Humble, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.
Will Humble is the former director for the Arizona Department of Health Sciences. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and our live line guests like Will Humble appear On our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's program on Money is next. Have a great afternoon.
Cortero, AM 1030.